I think for us, it's just making a plan and sticking to it. You know, the consistency has come from our plan of being there at the end. And a lot of times, you know, it's really easy to get greedy and get aggressive going into the start of the race, especially kicking off the 500. Everyone's been sitting on their butts, anxious to get back into the race car. But I think the results speak that when we can stay out of trouble and be there at the end, you know, we, as our team has grown, we've got the race cars to run up front. And now we just need to capitalize when it matters the most. Yeah, I mean, it was something that I wasn't sure was going to happen. You know, after you know, my part-time schedule last year, I knew that only running 9 races, that every race I was in the car needed to be something that was at least, you know, a positive. And so to be able to walk away with, you know, one of the best average finishes for the team, and to be able to show that, you know, even though I've been out of the car for a while, that we're here as a team's improving, I'm improving as a driver. And so to be able to be back in the 51 car for the first time since, you know, 2023 is a major opportunity. And really excited, too, because, you know, the team has gotten better and better every year, and the alliance with the RFK has grown and grown, and want to just kind of pick up where the 51 team left off last year and keep digging.
To build on that, Justin Haley, I know, built a lot with that 51 team before he transitioned back to Spire. Do you feel that some of those notes and some of those things that the team had from last year will be beneficial for you as far as that growth is concerned?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest part of that, too, is, you know, a lot of people would maybe look at going down to one full-time car as a negative. But I think for us as a smaller team, to be able to pool all of our resources, our personnel, our funding into one car and focus on that effort, I think that that's going to really, you know, elevate our program to the next level. And I think, you know, that obviously puts a lot of responsibility on me as a driver of that car to make that happen. But I think as we continue to do this every day, I think we're going to keep building the morale at the shop and keep bringing fast race cars to the track. Yeah, I think you know, getting to wake up this morning and look at the grandstands and see Daytona for the first time this year was definitely a really awesome experience. To be able to, you know, really after a stressful couple years, to be able to come back and be a part of it again, to, you know, not really knowing what's going to happen. I think that it was just a really awesome experience. Definitely a lot of emotion behind that, and to be able to just put the past in the past and go forward is going to be really awesome this year. Yeah, I mean, the August race definitely plays out a lot differently than the 500. It's a little bit shorter, so a little bit faster-paced racing. But, you know, obviously coming away with a fourth-place finish in the August race definitely gives us a lot of confidence to where we feel like we're in arm's reach of actually, you know, being a legitimate contender for the 500 this year. So, obviously, a lot goes into that, a lot of strategy, a lot of working with your Ford partners and things like that. But definitely looking forward to seeing how it goes on Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's our Super Bowl Sunday. It's definitely a little bit backwards being, you know, our biggest race of the year is our first of the year. But I think the energy is always just so electric. I mean, I think going on stage for driver intros at the Daytona 500 to me is still one of the coolest experiences on the planet. You know, I've raced IndyCar, raced prototypes, traveled the world racing cars. But to be able to show up on Sunday morning and be a part of this spectacle is still just such an amazing experience. I mean, yeah, Corey to me is, you know, obviously one of just an amazing, talented race car driver. So to be able to lean on him and to work with him is going to be really crucial. There's still, you know, a lot of things where, you know, I've had a lot of experience being full time in the Cup Series, but at this level with the in-depth approach with the team, the alliance, how we're growing things, you know, there's going to be another level of expectation both as me as a driver, the team as it grows. And so to be able to lean on someone and get that help that I really haven't had in the past, I've really kind of just had to wing it and figure it out on my own. I've not had a coach like some of the other guys have had, or just having that plethora of experience racing, you know, hundreds of super late model races, modified races, K&N, ARCA trucks, Xfinity, etc. So really, I've done most of my growing as a driver at the Cup level and just trying to figure it out. You know, I've only run a couple dozen Xfinity races, I think 6 or 7 truck starts, but I've run over 100 Cup races now. So really, like as we grow and we learn, I need to be able to look back and have someone that has that level of experience that I don't have, and Corey LaJoie is going to be a major asset to me as a driver this year. Yeah, for me and him, the biggest thing has been able to look at each individual day between practice and qualifying day and race day, what the plan of attack is, just to be focused, to have a clear, concise plan of how we're going to attack the day, attack the practice session, attack qualifying, and make sure that whatever the plan is, that we stick to it and we execute. And I think just to be able to have another level of focus, but also when there might be questions or concerns that I have and I'm trying to decipher and chew on information, to be able to pop him a text or a phone call and work with him on that, I think that's going to pay dividends. Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely had to happen pretty quick, only having 9 races to go off of for the year. Not much time to really reacclimate. I think, you know, Talladega as the first race back was pretty straightforward because it's just a plate race, super speedway race, and just trying to, you know, be there in the end and survive, which we did. Gateway definitely was a struggle. So that kind of was like my mulligan race, my toss away, and was definitely a pretty difficult, you know, we picked a tough track for me to come back to for our first traditional, you know, race back in the Cup car. But I think that kind of set the stage for us to come out swinging, you know, Pocono and Indy and Michigan and these places. And then, you know, to cap off the year with a solid finish at Vegas to kind of highlight the success and the consistency that we had was important. So I feel like we did what we needed to do. And now we just have to build off that. Now there's just going to be another level of intensity because it's going to be week in, week out, looking for results. Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely knew it was a pretty good average because obviously I know that we typically walk away with a solid finish here, but it really just comes down to the consistency aspect of it and to, you know, me and Billy Plourd have been here a lot together, and when we show up, we have a plan. We know that we want to be there at the checkered flag, and 9 times out of 10, if you can do that, you're already in a pretty decent spot. But then now that our race cars are getting better and better and faster, we're able to not only be there at the end but contend up front, and now I feel like we're in a spot where, you know, if we're at the right place at the right time, we're going to be, you know, battling for that Harley J. Earl trophy on Sunday.
I don't expect you to know these numbers, but it used to be long driver's odds are long for the Daytona 500 for any race. But you're a 250, 500 to 1 driver. You're a 100 to 1 driver this weekend. That sounds like a lot, but still, driver long. It's the performance that you've had that, like that Stephen was just saying, that has caught the eye of the odds maker. But it's the organization. I was asking, what can you say about the organization, you know, your family's company, as to where they turn things around and they're actually being recognized for the success that they have on the track? Because you were great here in August.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is it takes time. You know, when you don't have billions of dollars to throw at it right off the get-go, it's going to take time to build the operation. And I know over the years it seemed like a slow process, but I think now we've caught that attention where it's kind of turning into a positive snowball effect where the good results breed more support from the manufacturers. Our alliance partners at RFK see the effort that we're putting in, the morale at the shop, the amount of engineering and focus and dedication that's going into each individual race car. I think our team sees that, the alliance partners see that, which it boils down to success breeds more success. And so that's that ball we got to keep rolling. And I think that can end up turning into some pretty big and pretty awesome things as the year goes on.
And it's not just here. It's also in, you know, Indy. It's in NHRA. You guys were a deciding factor in the championship at the NHRA championship a couple of years ago. I mean, you guys across motorsports have really cemented a name for RWR.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just an honor to be a part of it. You know, my dad has spent decades building up. He just loves racing, you know, and so that's where it's like we're not doing this for any other reason other than we love racing. We love to be here, and to be able to see the success in NHRA, in IndyCar, the American Flat Track Racing, the World Supercross, to be able to be race-winning contenders and championship contenders across all those series. It's really awesome to really be building up our Cup program, to be a part of that portfolio of just a plethora of racing series that we're in, week out, battling for wins. And I think, you know, almost kind of like a Roger Penske type, where my dad's building a racing empire and really dipping his toes into being a part of all of that.
And it hasn't been an easy road. I mean, your mom is very passionate. She's very defensive. Trust me, I know. You know, but she is very much 100% you, this organization, and the struggles that you've gone through to get here. So, just is it kind of as in your role as a driver representing the company, not just as a son, but more rewarding for you to see what the journey to where this is at now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely. It feels like it's finally, like, it's justified. It's coming to fruition, where it's almost like the catharsis of all the hard days, all the bad days, all the criticism is starting to wear off, and we're moving into a season of just positivity and looking forward to what we're building. And I think as we have more results to lean back on, it's easier just to focus on what we're doing and focusing on the race on Sunday, because we have the results. You know, we have results, we have speed. There's still weekends where we might struggle at times, but that's any race team, really. And so to be able to just be able to lean back on not just the results of the 51 car, but the 15 car and the organization as a whole, to see where we're growing and that trajectory. I think, you know, we're showing people that we're here to race and we mean business now.
You mentioned Motorsports Empire. It could be along those lines. What is the end game for Rick Ware Racing?
I think right now, like, we want to continue to grow this Cup team to be on par with all the other series that we're a part of, where we're, you know, battling for wins and contending for a championship. And I know that that's a long and hard road, but, you know, he's been doing it for a couple of decades. So, you know, if it takes a couple more decades, then so be it.